So Jesus promises another advocate in today's gospel. And he is our advocate, and he promises to send another advocate, the Holy Spirit, upon them. You know, the word advocate, or the Greek word would be paraclete, means one who is called to stand by you. So if we think about, you know, someone who's in court, they have an attorney who is, you know, serving as their advocate. He stands next to the person and helps them to provide a defense and gives them counsel. And so that's the role of the Holy Spirit, to stand by us and to stand with us. And so two things we can learn from this is, first, we're never alone in living out our faith. You know, sometimes we might feel alone or abandoned, but we never are, because Christ sends the Holy Spirit to be with us. And secondly, we don't live the faith out by our own power. It's not like we're on our own to carry out whatever vocation the Lord is calling us to. You know, whether it's being a parent or, you know, whatever the Lord's calling us to, you know, if it's overcoming sin, you know, we're not on our own to do that. Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and to help us carry that out. Now, he says in the gospel, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees nor knows him. Now, unlike Jesus Christ, who took on a body, you know, people could see him there. You know, the Holy Spirit does not have a body. He is invisible because he's pure spirit. But what that enables him to do, because he is pure spirit, is to actually dwell within us. And so one of the effects of our baptism is we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit actually dwells inside of us. And so when we give consent with our will for the Holy Spirit to act, he can do powerful things within us. But we do have to give that consent, because he's not going to work against our will. And so what are the ways in which we can ask the Holy Spirit to assist us? Well, if we're facing a difficult decision, you know, what do I do in this situation? You know, do I leave my job and take on a new job? Or, you know, what's best for my family in this situation? If we call on the Holy Spirit, he can help to give us counsel and direct us in the right direction. If we're seeking the truth, you know, if there's something that we struggle with, you know, we can ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds and to give us a clearer sense of the truth. Sometimes it takes strength to live out Christian teaching, because it might cause tension within our family, or there might be a situation in the workplace where we might lose our job or face consequences if we stand up for some teaching of the church. And so we can call on the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and to give us fortitude in those moments. You know, if there's a situation where we struggle to have the right words to say, we can call on the Holy Spirit to give us those words to speak. Parents, grandparents should invoke the Holy Spirit in parenting, you know, to help to give them the guidance and the wisdom that they need to be good parents. You know, teachers should invoke the Holy Spirit to help to guide them so that they can be more effective in teaching the faith to those entrusted to them. In our prayer, you know, we should invoke the Holy Spirit so that it's not just our own words that we're praying, but that we're praying in the power of the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to unite us more deeply through Christ to our Heavenly Father. Our first reading today comes from the Acts of the Apostles, and it's an important reading, but it talks about Philip. And this is not the Apostle Philip, this is the Deacon Philip. He's one of the seven deacons that were ordained in Acts chapter 6. And it says that he goes to Samaria and he preaches the faith, and the people respond. They listen to what he says and he baptizes them. Huge numbers of the Samaritans became Christians. But then they send word to Jerusalem to call Peter and John to go to Samaria to lay hands on the people who had been baptized, so that they can receive a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So this was something that Philip couldn't do because he was a deacon, but the first bishops of the church could do. And we call that today, the sacrament of confirmation. You know, when usually the bishop lays hands on someone who's going to be confirmed and they receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, that can be delegated to a priest, but ordinarily it's done by a bishop. And so this is one passage of scripture where we can see very clearly the foundation for one of the seven sacraments. And so this is a good go-to passage if we're in discussions with one of our Protestant brethren. You know, this can be a go-to passage to show the reality of the sacraments. But what this says to us is, as long as we're in a state of grace, we've received the Holy Spirit first in baptism, but the full outpouring in the sacrament of confirmation. And so we are strengthened by that special outpouring of grace by the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. And so to live in the Holy Spirit and to have the Holy Spirit active within us, we have to live in the truth. And that's one of the things that's so dangerous about the modern world, is that the modern world, people often will reject truth. They don't want to live in truth. And, you know, we can see many examples of this. You know, one example is with the defense of the sacredness of life. When people advocate for abortion, if you ask them when human life begins, they refuse to answer the question. They won't go there. They refuse to answer it because they know when life begins, but they're rejecting truth. Or if we look at the institution of marriage, you know, what is the purpose of marriage? The purpose of marriage is to create a family, so that a husband and wife can have children and raise them in the faith. But people will reject the reality of marriage. Or gender, male and female, people reject that reality. The commandments that Jesus Christ gives us, things like honoring the Lord's Day, not taking the Lord's name in vain, people will often reject those teachings simply because they don't want to live by them. You know, people will say, well, you know, I can go to church once a month. That's good enough for me. You know, it's only one day a month I got to obey the commandments. Well, that's not what Christ said. We always have to obey the commandments. And so within our modern culture, there's a rejection of truth because people don't want to live by truth. They want to live by whatever they form in their mind, their imagination. But they reject truth. And there's a growing hostility against Christianity, against truth, and against freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and even freedom of thought are all being attacked. But in order to enter into the life of God, we have to respond to the Holy Spirit and live in accord with the Spirit of Truth. If we don't do that, there's no way we can attain union with God, which is the ultimate purpose for which we're all created. In the face of a world that's often hostile to truth, you know, we're called to live in the Spirit of Truth. And in our second reading, St. Peter teaches us how to do that. He says, always be ready to give an explanation of the reason for your hope. That's an important instruction to all of us. We need to be ready, to be prepared, to give an explanation for our faith. Why do we believe in Jesus Christ? Why do we come to church every Sunday? Why are we pro-life? We have to be prepared to give a reason for our hope. And he says, with gentleness and reverence, keeping your conscience clear so that others can see your good conduct and not have an excuse to oppose us. And so we should never respond to the rejection of truth in modern culture with anger or frustration, but we should do so with gentleness and with reverence. And so we are never alone in bearing witness to the truth. We have the truth on our side. The truths of the Catholic Church are based upon God himself and what he has revealed. And so we never have to be defensive or frustrated or lash out in anger because the truth is on our side. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us in order to give us the words to speak and in order to enable us to bear witness to the truth with strength and with courage. And so as we continue with this Mass, we invite the Holy Spirit to come upon us in a renewed way, to strengthen us and to give us courage and strength to live out our vocation in Christ, living it out, knowing that we are not on our own, but we do so in the power of the Holy Spirit who reigns within us.